Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sandspence Radio, Australia's dumbest podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Dear Harry / Spock. This is a podcast where comedians read out their original fan fiction for your listening pleasure. My name is Ellen Waddell, and I will be your host, and I will hopefully distract and entertain you for the next 35 to 45 minutes. If you don't know what fanfiction is, it's basically where you make up a story about something that already exists. It could be a story based on an existing piece of fiction, or it could be based on a historical event or real-life figure. So, in that regard, you can have fanfiction about SpongeBob SquarePants or Richard Nixon. Or you can have fanfiction about SpongeBob SquarePants and Richard Nixon. And they set up a detective agency where they solve white-collar crime. All the stories you're about to hear are from a live show. You can get more details at facebook.com/DearHarrySpock, Instagram/DearHarrySpock, or Twitter/DearHarrySpock. Tonight, today, this evening, this morning, we have fan fiction from Alex Fraser, comedy duo Shelf, and a computer-generated Radiohead song. Let me cast your mind back to September 2019. Comedy duo Shelf appeared at Dear Harry / Spock, and they read us a story which was particularly special. They had written a historical Choose Your Own Adventure. It centred on the Virgin Queen Elizabeth I, who was dealing with the impending invasion of the Armada, as well as her growing feelings for a young bard by the name of Harry Styles. I highly recommend listening to this story and playing along. You know, see if you agree with the audience. Also, the sound is a tiny bit shit. Sorry about that. We don't really know what we're doing. But luckily, the content is very strong. Oh, and right at the start, Shelf mentioned a character called William. And just to give you some context, he's Elizabeth I's trusted advisor. So, admin aside, sit back, relax, and prepare to be weirdly gripped by this story which Rachel and Ruby call a royal blush.
You say, with a sigh, running your fingers through your untamable red hair. At first, you'd approved of your advisor's suggestion that you make a public appearance at the concert, but now it seems ridiculous. Queen Elizabeth I at the House of Tudor, Regent of the British Empire, at a One Direction concert? It seems like my time would be better spent preparing for the war, you grumble. Although William does have a point, perhaps you could use a night off from the meetings, the demands of the throne, and seeing you will boost public morale. What better place to be seen than in the audience of the biggest band in the world? A world you've recently discovered includes America. Who knew? Will you A, go to the One Direction concert, or B, stay home and examine reports from spies in France? Oh, actually closer than I would have imagined.
think it's One Direction.
You judge. That's perfect. When you arrive at Wembley Arena, which for the purposes of the narrative already exists, you're glad William talked you into coming. The audience are delighted to see you in your royal box, which adds the atmosphere of anticipation. A roar goes up as the performers take the stage and everything plunges into darkness. The lights burst back on and there they are. One Direction. The boys launch into What Makes You Beautiful.
Baby, thou lights up my world like nobody else. The way that thou flips thine hair's got me overwhelmed. But when thou smil'st at the ground, oh, it's not hard to tell. Thou dost not know, thou dost not know thou's beautiful.
In spite of yourself, you're having a wonderful time, and by the time the boys have played their final encore, the whole audience is on its feet, whooping and cheering. You're tempted to join them, though of course it wouldn't be particularly royal. As you look out at the crowd and the boys on stage, a pair of green eyes lock with yours. Green like an ocean full of grass. The curly-haired boy, Harry Styles, is gazing at you with an appraising expression. The following morning, you arise early and the servants bustle around you, preparing your outfit for the day. Finally clothed in an outfit that symbolises both virginal purity and divine authority, you call for William, who comes at once to provide the itinerary for the day. It's just such genuine fanfare.
It's also, like, weirdly historically accurate for what it is.
Direction boys are coming for a royal visit this morning, Mom, William begins. I think it would be good to meet them, for they are continuing their tour across Europe. Did they have Europe then? Of course, William, you reply. Is this not an outfit to be spoken of across Europe if it does exist already? You present the outfit, which at once has the innocence of a nun and the danger of a warlord. You make your way into one of the state rooms where the boys are waiting nervously to meet you. One of their hit songs plays quietly in the background.
If you like causing trouble up in tavern rooms, if you like having secret little rendezvous, and if you like to do the things you know that Jesus would do, then baby, I'm perfect. Baby, I'm perfect for you.
Louis, Niall, and Liam are polite and sweaty palmed as they bend to kiss your ring. Zayn seems distracted, but you know enough about the band to know this is classic Zayn. It's only Harry who doesn't seem to be nervous. At this point, we should really emphasise, although Zayn is still in the band, it's very much like later stage One Direction. They're all, like, so fully in their 20s.
Yeah, like, he's of age.
Just, like, sit down. Morality and legality purposes.
I don't know why that's the timeline we're concerned about justifying, but...
But it's important to note. As William engages the other boys in conversation, you turn to Harry Styles. I enjoyed your performance last night, you tell him. Yes, he says, I saw you smiling. I'm very glad you enjoyed yourself, my lady. You can't help but suspect a touch of flirtation in his tone, and you realise he's still holding your hand in his. You must never address your queen as my lady, you say, removing your hand and holding his gaze. You may refer to me only as your majesty, or ma'am. I'm terribly sorry, ma'am, he answers, not sounding sorry at all. But I have to say, it seems a shame to have a name as lovely as Elizabeth when no one's allowed to say it. You stare at him in shock. No one refers to the Queen by her Christian name. William instinctively whisks you away. Is everything all right, Mom? You spoke to Master Styles for a while. I hope you didn't find him distasteful. You sense William might have noticed the spark between you and the boy. Do you say... I must say, I know it's improper, but I've taken quite a shine to him. Do you think that's terrible, William? Or, nothing to report. I am only thinking of present troubles. Keep it under your rug.
We're a cold queen.
Very good, I like it. You tell him there is nothing to report, and William is slightly taken aback by your curtness. Of course, Mum, he responds, regarding you strangely. He turns away from you and the cold atmosphere makes you feel even more isolated in your position on the throne. It's lonely at the top, because at the top there's no room for two. Sometimes you partner, but wish two were at the top too. Back in your chambers after a deathly boring meal, you sit at your mirror in your nightdress and comb through your hair. Your thoughts drift to Harry Styles and you can't help it. You smile, insolent boy. Still, something about him you can't help but like. And that's when you hear it, a scraping sound coming from the window. Frowning, you rise and walk to the glass. Nothing. You push it open and lean out. For a moment, you can't believe your eyes. Looking up at you, clinging to the stone parapet, is Harry. What do you think you're doing? Unless you help me, he says, I think I'm about to fall. So do you A, reach down and pull him up, or B, walk away from the window? So A, to pull him up.
Yeah.
And B, walk away from the window.
I feel like Let Him Die was a loud minority. I'm sorry.
I think we should listen to a loud minority, don't we think?
Just because you're gay. I'm also gay before that sounds terrible.
The greatest fan fiction I think has ever been written.
I know.
Pull him up, pull him up. With your help, Harry Styles scrambles in through your window. Harry Styles is standing in your private chambers. You haven't had such a thrill as this since Mary died and you first took the throne. No, you don't want him to know that. Are you insane, you hiss? How did you even avoid the archers? I could have you hanged. Yes, he says, and there's that wolf-like grin. But you won't. You lean against the wall and raise your eyebrows at him. In spite of yourself, you're smiling again. As a queen, you expect loyalty and subservience from your subjects, but part of you has always respected those that challenge. And what makes you think that? Because you blush. Blushed, he says softly, when I called you Elizabeth. The sound of your name on his tongue, though, he gets quite sexual. we go into it, and I did not think about saying out loud. You have to leave, Harry, I mean it. I will, he says, if you kiss me. It's like your whole body comes to life. You can't believe this boy, his daring, his boldness. It should enrage you. But you can't deny the electricity that's crackling between you. It's like nothing you've ever felt before. Do you refuse to kiss him? That's a real quiet minority. Or take control and kiss him passionately. It's the last thing he expects from you. You place your hands on his chest and pin him against the wall. Your lips meet his. The kiss is intense, urgent, and it leaves him gasping. You have what you came for, Harry. It's time to go. His eyes burn into yours. Of course, Elizabeth. And with that, he slips from the window and vanishes into the night. Giddy and giggling, you collapse onto your bed. The following day, you stare at William across the table. He repeats himself gravely. I'm sorry, Your Majesty, but the spy's reports are clear. The Armada is coming.
Oh, no! Poor Elizabeth! She has to deal with the Armada and her lust for Harry. What will she do? Well, you can find out later in part two of A Royal Blush.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, if you listen to the Bugle podcast, you'll be familiar with our next act and you'll know what a professional podcast should sound like. So here with her James Bond fanfiction, it's my lady crush, Alice Fraser.
Hello,
Lund enters the bar. The music is too loud and he's fighting flashbacks of other murders at other parties. It's the first day of a new mission. James. Bond James. Just James then. Bond. Bond, Bond. Fuck. A voice comes in over his headset. You okay, 007? James says, yeah. Yeah, it's just been a while since the last mission. He steps up to the bar. Try something new, James. You promised yourself you'd shake it up. You open your handsome mouth and hear the words slide out like the smoke of a rich cigar. A martini, shaken, not stirred. Fuck! Fuck, you don't even like that drink. It's just safe. It's just the thing you know. You ordered it once and now it's a loop. Actually, a friend told you now that you're not meant to shake a martini. It ruins the texture and it's actually stirred, not shaken, that you want. But no, you thought it sounded like the spy you wanted to be once. Shaken, not stirred, like being the only survivor of a devastating explosion and walking out without a glance behind you. You never want to look back and see what you've done. The martini tastes like regret going down, like a million women you didn't call. Like the times you took your medicine like a man. She's a few seats down, dressed like a human metaphor for an expensive car. Wearing not very much, very shiny. She catches your eye and slides over, introduces yourself. Hi, she says. Bond, you say. No, fuck, first name's first. James. James Bond. Get it together, man. She says, my name is Dee Dee Boulder. And are they, you say, nodding down at her voluptuous bosom. Jesus fucking Christ, she must have heard that 1,000 times. She's a woman. Don't objectify her. You don't even know her. She laughs huskily. And a Southeast Asian man with a goatee and a black suit wearing a hat walks by. Hi, odd job. I beg your pardon? Oh. I was talking to the guy behind you. The Asian man turns around. There's no one there. He walks away. Fuck, James, what are you thinking? You think all Asian men look the same? You killed odd jobs. You murdered him in cold blood with his own hat. A coward's way to murder a man who was simply doing his job. And then you said he blew a fuse. What the fuck? He could have had a family, James. Dee Dee looks after the Asian man, says, someone you knew? James says, yes, we used to be in a band together. She says, well, Mr. Bond, what instrument do you play? You look like you have very sensitive fingers. And then they bang. After they bang and she inevitably betrays him to her boss and dies in his arms, what's this, like the 40th woman he's inadvertently fucked to death? He wonders what would have happened if he'd taken it slow, if he'd taken her to the movies first. He saves the world, he kills a lot of people doing it, but by now he can't even feel guilty anymore. He goes home and sits alone. God, James, next time just order a beer.
Thank you for that, Alice. You can follow Alice Fraser on Twitter at alliterative. That's A-L-I-T-E-R-A-T-I-V-E. Previously on A Royal Blush, Elizabeth and Harry Styles have shared an intimate encounter and are falling in love. But William, Elizabeth's trusted advisor, has just broken the news to her that the Armada is coming.
Back in your room at the end of a long day, you sink into a hot bath. Your maids have drawn for you in your cast iron, historically accurate tub. You drink a few goblets of wine too fast, trying to forget the worries of the day. It's not long before you hear the sound of boots scraping stone and Harry's head appears once more at your window. Elizabeth! He gasps, trying desperately to avert his eyes. I'm sorry, I didn't think. You're enjoying seeing this confident boy suddenly on the back foot. He clambers in to the room, not the bath. That same electricity sparkles between you again and all you want to do is reach out and touch this boy you barely know. Do you, A, let him get a real good look as you rise from the bar, but don't give him the satisfaction of anything more, or B, kiss him for England. Okay. Oh, you rise slowly from make it sexy. You rise slowly from the water and step dripping from the tub. Harry watches you intently. You reach out and pull him towards you. The next thing you know, you're tumbling together onto your bed, your hands all over each other, your mouths touching, tasting, feeling. His hands wind themselves into your hair as he whispers your name.
Elizabeth.
You glance at the clock or the moon or however they told the time in the 60s. If you don't want to be discovered, it's time for you to go, Harry. I imagine you've gotten what you came for. Everything and more, he smiles, making his way back to the window. He pauses. Actually, I was wondering, maybe tomorrow we could meet in the woods. Just take a walk. When was the last time you did something that normal, Your Majesty? There's that wolfish grin again, but this time it saddens you, tugging upon your heartstrings like a loop or a harp or some other contemporary instrument. Harry, you have to go, you say firmly. I am queen. You must never forget who I am. This can never be anything more. I have a war to fight and an empire to rule. Do you understand me? Perfectly. He attempts another grin as he climbs from your window, but you hear the shake in his voice and catch a glimpse of the hurt in his eyes. He cares. He really cares. And remembering that hurt in his eyes, you know he won't climb through your window again.
So we are at the technical end of our set. And we probably all have plans tonight. So I guess it is now up to you guys.
It's not how much, it's probably about the same again. It's not, I think it's less than that. I hope we've got to wrap it up.
Amazing.
That's so good. Okay, do you know what? So basically... basically, to be real quick, it's sort of so the French king offers you his hand in marriage, and he's going to support you with it's long. The king of France is going to offer you his hand in marriage to help you in the support in the war against Spain, but obviously you're not sure about it because you know if you marry him, then you're kind of giving your throne to the French because back then being a queen wasn't as good as being a king.
Very complicated.
But, yeah, so basically you have a choice of three options for your ending, and it's also affected by whether or not. You chose to confess to William Burley your love for Harry. Would you want to tell William Burley about your love for Harry or not? So we'll get a cheer for yes.
Yeah.
And a cheer for no.
Yeah.
You hurry to the council room where William is waiting for you to make your final decision. Will you A, tell him you will run away with Harry, B, tell him you will marry the French king, C, tell him you will not marry the French king but do battle with the Spanish and fight without the bastard French? Honestly, so patriotic. So cheers for run away with Harry. Cheers for marry the French king. Correct. That was the actually only wrong answer.
Everyone dies if you do that.
Yeah. He wasn't a good king, though. It's not like now, France. Anyway, C, tell him you will not marry the French king, but do battle with the Spanish. Amazing. You tell William that you will do your duty and sacrifice everything for the good of your kingdom, but you will not marry the king of France. William nods and replies quietly, is it Harry? Because you told him about Harry. You shake your head. No, I love Harry, but I love England more. I will take my people to victory without the help of France. William embraces you and looks at you beaming. I am so proud of the woman you have become. The following morning, you stand at the head of your mighty army and turn to your people. I know I have the mind and body of a feeble woman, but I have the heart and stomach of a king, and a king of England too. The soldiers raise their swords in the air and cheer. As flames and arrows burst between the ships out at sea, you notice one of your guards slumps to the ground, bleeding. Behind him stands a foot soldier you've never seen before. Viva España, he screams, diving at you with his sword raised. As cries of traitor ring out, you close your eyes, brace for the blow, but it never comes. You open your eyes. A curly-haired boy is in front of you. His sword is plunged into the traitor's chest. But as he steps back, you see the traitor's sword buried in his stomach. No. It's Harry, of course. whispers, "You shouldn't have." He leans up and plants a kiss on your lips. He smiles. "If England is your destiny, Elizabeth, then this is mine." You smile through your tears. His eyes slide closed and you can feel that he's gone. You have lost the only love you've ever known. But you are a queen. You are an empress. You were born to rule. And sometimes a ruler must ignore her heart. Even if memories of a green-eyed boy will haunt her forever.
I hope that story left you all as aroused and enthralled as I was. You can follow Shelf on Twitter at Shelf Comedy. Let's finish off the show with a little bit of a sing-song, shall we? Our resident tech wizard, Steve Dawson, built a Radiohead lyric generator, which produced Tom York-esque lyrics. He then made a song out of them. This is his Radiohead fanfiction song. Hope you enjoyed that. The generator is up on dawsonbross.com/radiohead. You can make your own digital Tom York if you so choose. And if you do make anything, then please send them on to us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. That's dearharryspock@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you to all our performers. Please subscribe. Please write a review. You can follow me on Twitter at Ellen Starbuck, or you can follow my co-host and tech wizard, Stephen Dawson. That's at S Dawson Bros. Bros is spelt like the band Bros. I hope you are having an all right time and staying safe, guys. I love you. Bye.